Israel is...
Blog Talk Radio.
The Republican leader of the House is backing a shakeup in his party's leadership. Mark Mayfield has more.
Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy told Fox News that he supports New York Rep. Elise Stefanik to replace Wyoming's Liz Cheney as the GOP conference chair. Cheney is facing removal from the number three GOP spot over a split with former President Trump.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average is reaching yet another milestone. It crossed the 35,000 mark for the first time today, as it was up more than 300 points at one point. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio. A concert to help fight the coronavirus crisis is making a big dent in global vaccination efforts. VaxLive raised $302 million, exceeding Global Citizen's goal. The money will help distribute more than 26 million vaccine doses. The event aired on TV and streamed online Saturday night, opening and closing with Jennifer Lopez on stage. President Biden and Prince Harry also appeared. Now is the time to get ready for the Atlantic hurricane season that starts in just a few weeks. Rory O'Neill reports.
This is Hurricane Preparedness Week, and each day looks at a different topic to make sure you and your family are storm ready. Those topics include evaluating your risk, developing an evacuation plan, and reviewing the list of disaster supplies that can be used after a hurricane, or really any kind of emergency. All the info can be found online at ready.gov. The six-month hurricane season starts June 1st, and forecasters are calling for another above-average year. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Washington Wizards guard Russell Westbrook has tied a record set by one of the NBA's all-time greats.
Westbrook's 33 points, 19 rebounds, and 15 assists in the Wizards' overtime win against the Indiana Pacers was his 35th triple-double this season and the 181st of his career. That ties him with NBA legend Oscar Robertson.
What they were able to do back in the day has allowed me to be able to do the things I want to do today, and I'm grateful for him, and I'm grateful for his words, and appreciative of support as well.
Westbrook can break the record when the Wizards visit the Atlanta Hawks on Monday. Joel Stern, NBC News Radio.
Dogecoin is going to the moon. SpaceX plans to launch a rocket carrying a payload that will be funded entirely by the cryptocurrency. Geometric Energy Corporation is behind the Doge 1 mission to the moon set for next year. SpaceX founder Elon Musk has been a proponent of Dogecoin. The company's vice president of commercial sales says the Doge 1 mission will demonstrate the viability of cryptocurrency. Tom Roberts, NBC News Radio.
Need a break from the sound bites and the talking heads? Do you want information you can actually use? Information that'll change your life for the better? Then listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will show you how to retire in 2 to 5 years. Your age doesn't matter. Turn off the pundits and turn on the passive income. Tune in to the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at alternative talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly sunny skies today. High temperatures around 64, 65 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures dropping down to about 45, 46 for Tuesday and the rest of the week. Partly to mostly sunny skies. High temperatures in the mid to upper 60s all week long. Partly to mostly cloudy skies through the overnight. Low temperatures in the upper 40s to low 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore living the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are your thoughts keeping you small? Are you ready to get big? I will offer you ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. Explore what is keeping you small and how to shift your behaviors in order to get big. Learn what is possible for you. Get ready to get big and live life out loud starting now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Get Big Out Loud with me, Dr. Pat, and Carrie. Carrie, oh, my goodness, right? OMG for today, do you think?
Yes, I'm so excited about the topic because I've been thinking about it so much. I got a lot of good responses from people around and talking about it, and I think it's just really important.
So, yeah. Well, it has been... This is like mysterious forgetting. We're getting like a little mysterious now about the topic. But let's just talk for a minute about you. because you are Get Big Out Loud, right? You are also Commutes and Speaks. You're a speaker. You're an entertainer. You are a fantastic coach. You're a school counselor, a storyteller, a mother, a closet rap artist. Benny, we have not done that yet, okay? We may have a moment today. May have a moment today. But the bottom line is you're here, and what you've discovered is to help people. Today's topic is one of the most devastating, impactful, and largest Achilles heel that you could actually step into. I'm not kidding. This one thing we're getting ready to talk about will steal from you your power, your joy, your life purpose, everything around you. It will stop your forward movement faster than you could shake a stick. And it is not fear itself. Right, Carrie?
Correct.
So tell folks what this is and why we're talking about it today.
Oh, what a build-up after that. My goodness, I'm like, I hope I'm right. It's a comparison. Comparison. We're talking about comparison.
Yeah.
That is such a loaded word, and there's a, you know, a common quote out there that says comparison is a thief of joy. But I started thinking about, and also that's attributed to Teddy Roosevelt, but I started thinking about comparison is not just a thief of joy. You know, it's a thief of everything you just talked about, like your dreams, your feelings, your authenticity, your ability to show up for yourself. And so I, instead of saying comparison is the thief of joy, I just wanted to say comparison is a thief of so many things. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, because I, like you said, I think it is an Achilles heel, especially of our adult lives, around like how we get to show up for ourselves and the dreams we get to pursue and who we get to be.
Yeah. You know, I want to talk about this from my profession for a minute if we can. All right. So I am broadcast positive talk, the Dr. Pat show, right? We're talking, you have your show. Everybody just heard the intro for it, right? Also, I'm a network owner. Many people don't know that I own the Transformation Network, all aspects of it, television, radio, right? And yet, I work with partners in this arena, and it's very unheard of for any kind of media network to work with other people. And I want to talk about this for a minute, because you can compare yourself to others and do it in a way where you're not really comparing, but you're checking on the market. You're seeing what best practices are. You're doing it in a way where you don't hold envy. 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 Benny. Envy. Right? Because we're talking a part of comparison that brings up envy. That is the Achilles heel, isn't it?
Correct. And I think when you talk about comparison, you do really have to see, like, am I comparing myself or a situation to look for differences without judgment? But usually the comparison, the fault of comparison is there's a judgment connected to the comparison. I'm either further ahead than you or further behind. I'm either winning or losing. It's that dualistic thinking of this or that. And comparison almost invites that, right? I'm comparing myself to you. And then we tend to fall short when we are comparing. We're not tending to compare ourselves to people doing like worse than us unless we want to feel better about ourselves, right? But anytime I say, I feel like comparison is an invitation for the judgment. Unless you become conscious of comparing yourself, like you said, what's best practices? What are the people feel doing? What does it look like to be top-notch in my field? Let me look to see to others for inspiration, right? But the judgment part of comparison is so closely tied that unless you actively think about that, I feel like you just go down that path before you even know it. Right? And that's why I think it's difficult. And like you said, the envy, jealousy, anger, frustration, and then this is the biggest thing too, give up. If I can't do it like that, I might as well just give up. Or I'm so far behind, I'm just not going to do it. And that's why I think comparison is the biggest dream killer too, because if I can't do it like Dr. Pat, should I even start?
should I even try? If I can't do it your way, like, and we tend to be in those moments of self-doubt, which then turn into dream killers. And I always say, you know when you have that, Dr. Pam, have you ever felt that, like, you have an idea and you're like, oh, I want to do this thing, and you get that spark in you, and you just have this intrinsic excitement about it. What I find that people start to do is they don't let that little excitement, like they don't shepherd that light and that spark. Instead, they squash it. Who am I to do that? I can never do that. Look how old I am, or how fat I am, or what little experience I have, or whatever. Whatever. Everyone's too fat and inexperienced, or too old, or too young. Let's just say that's a blanket. But we do these things where we take that spark and then we squash it right away through comparison. So I think it's important to bring up, too. Like I said, envy is an Achilles heel. Judgment is an Achilles heel. All that.
Well, and, you know, let's talk about this because, you know, people looked at me and said, dude, you like had a midlife crisis. And I said, what, like at age 30? Because that was my first midlife crisis was at age 30. I'm just saying. But we talk about midlife crisis and what that means. And so, you know, we get into a realm where we don't look introspectively at ourselves. And, you know, I mean, you and I coach people. If we could only coach people to stay in that introspective space and not look around them, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Because let's talk about this idea of having a midlife crisis, right, and looking at it. Because here's what happens sometimes. We enter into that midlife crisis, and we're going to talk more about it later in the show, because it's part of our conversation today. And what leads up to the word crisis, if I may, use the word crisis and comparison together, comparison and crisis. See, if you step in to the realm of comparison when you believe you are not enough, you will have a crisis, and it doesn't matter what age you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the same time, we get moments where we feel like we're down a cord. We're emotionally depleted, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're down, right? And how many times have you been told, suck it up? Just suck it up. Don't cry.
Mm-hmm.
What are you crying for? I remember somebody said to me, there's no crying in table tennis. And I said, you got to be kidding. Everybody cries in table tennis. Are you kidding? A sport where you have to lose by 2 points and you don't think you're going to cry? But where do we get this idea of who we are and the judging part of ourselves that we tell ourselves, you're not enough, all of it.
Yes, well, that's the crust of it, Dr. Pat, the worthiness, right?
Did you say crust of it?
The crux of it, but I know you do crust busters.
Okay,
right?
I thought you were throwing that at me right there.
But maybe that isn't the crust of around it, right? That's what we're talking about.
Benny's going to get a jackhammer for us.
Oh, I like it. Okay, I'm going to incorporate your theory and my theory.
Okay, go ahead.
The crust of it, the outer layer that keeps it all inside, is this idea, too, of like, I'm not worthy, right? And I think there's two parts to that. I'm not worthy, and one day when I do all the things I should do, then I will also get to do what I want to do. So there's two parts of it. First, we're not worthy, and so we're comparing ourselves, but then we have a lot of should. I better do all these, check all these boxes so I can either make society happy, my family happy, what my perceived idea of myself happy, what I should be doing as a 30-year-old, 40-year-old, 50-year-old, whatever it is, where we are in our timeline, right? The should.
Yeah, keep going, and you might hit my age. Go ahead.
Well, the shoulds and the worthiness, so they play into each other, right? Because at some point, you have to think, I'm worthy of pursuing my dreams and goals, or I'm worthy of self-expression in a certain way. Like, I always have to laugh with you at table tennis because you bring it up, and I've never known a table tennis person, right? But I envision you living in this world of fierce competitive. And remember one time you were sad because you slipped your knee, you couldn't play table tennis, and it was really hard for you?
Yeah, I do remember. Like, I'm going to have post-traumatic stress disorder now, right?
It's a legit thing for you, right? And table tennis isn't an active part of my life, but it's something that defines you in a way, right? It's part of what makes you you. And I love that you're not afraid to say, like, table tennis. And I'm going to get a shirt that says there's no crying in table tennis, right? I think it's interesting. For my dad, his thing was square dancing, which is, you know, so random. And he loved it, right?
Yeah.
And I have another person in my life who loves to knit so much. Like, it's her passion, her joy. And, like, other people like to craft. Other people like to garden. Whatever your thing is that other people don't either respect, understand, or admire, but yet it is part of your lifeblood. You know, it's part of what makes you you. But you are in a place, like, if you just think about the table tennis thing, what if you felt like in your life someone's like, that's stupid, Dr. Pat, table tennis? I mean, what about regular tennis? Right? If you're not going to be the best at it, why do it at all? If you want to be a radio host and be a public speaker and a coach and table tennis, you better commit everything and be 100%. Like, again, the shoulds, the perceptions of what does table tennis mean to you? Well, it's yours alone to define, right? And you're going to dedicate a part of your life. But we put those societal expectations, and sometimes I just don't think, can you just enjoy table tennis for what it means to you without having
the world judgy?
Right, and you can, for anyone listening, you can insert whatever your thing is in there.
Let's do that for people now. Let's walk them through this. Let's invite everybody right now. We're going to go to break, but I really want everybody to do this right now. Oh, am I going to cry over this? Look, we have had a tough year. You may have stepped away from those things you truly love. You may have looked around and have said, I can't do it. But it's a thing you love. And you're right, Carrie. It could be anything. It could be cooking. It could be snowshoeing. It doesn't matter. But there is something that got in the way of that. Maybe you looked around and you said, Mary does it better than me. Or maybe you started to compare your life to another's and said, I can't retire because I'm never going to have the kind of retirement Joe had. Or maybe you're thinking to yourself, I've got this job, and it is just, I just think about my friend Julie, and she's got the most incredible job. And then you go down the rabbit hole with that. You know, if I only could have, should have, would have, if I could only do that. And you notice I've spent less than 17 seconds, and yet we're on a spiral down for one reason, Terry, what you said, comparison. Let's take a short break. When we come back, how do you then grab onto the ladder within that spiral and pull yourself up to find that you are powerful, powerful? When we come back, what does comparison in the form of rejection feel like, and what do we do about it? You know, stay tuned, everybody. You know, you're listening to Get Big Out Loud. Carrie Knutson joining me here today. I'm Dr. Pat. I get to hang out with her. When we come back, she's going to explain why comparison is a thief and what you can do with it. We'll be right back.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com. Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com. Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein's host of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup of joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get Big Out Loud. Carrie, look, I love this show. This is your show, Get Big Out Loud with Carrie, living a complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life. And, boy, we do have fun. I want the folks to know how they can find out more about you, how they can work with you, how they can watch where you're speaking, participate, all of the above.
Yes, you can find me at KnutsonSpeaks.com. That's KNUTSONSpeaks.com. On any social media, at KnutsonSpeaks, Instagram, Facebook. And I do promote on there, do lots of speaking events. I also do coaching for people who want to explore some personal things, but also people who want to be better public speakers to get their messages out there. And when the pandemic opens back up too, I have a one-woman show all around storytelling that I hope will be touring again and be able to do some fun things. So everything about me is at KnutsonSpeaks.com.
And it looks like we will be touring again if anybody pays attention to anything out there, which is exciting. You know, it doesn't mean we're not going to be mindful. It just means that people are going to emerge now. And I would imagine when you get out and speak, you're going to emerge louder, more positive, more expansive, more in support of other people's power. You know, because we're all changed and different. The other thing I know is that you and I do not sit and do a lot of comparing, right? I mean, the most comparison I'll do is when I buy a car. That's when I do a lot of comparing, right? But not in a negative way. It's I'm comparing. What's the price? What am I going to get? What's the best lease rate? So there's a difference between that kind of evaluation and assessment, and that is evaluation and assessment. It's really not comparing. And the comparing you and I are talking about, comparing you and I are talking about, that's a showstopper. It's disempowering. It could literally stop you from a dream. It would have stopped me 16, 17 years ago because I was in the space of comparing. I wasn't doing things the way other hosts were doing. I even had a station owner tell me that, you know, the way I did a show wasn't good enough, and that would have stopped me. So tell us how we take by the hand this level of comparison slash envy slash jealousy and turn it around.
Well, I think I was thinking about this idea, you know, if comparison is a thief, what is the opposite of that, right? So I came up with this idea, then if comparison is a thief, then contrast must be a liberator. And how I think we get out of that, and this is what I mean, contrast means the differences in us, right? without the judgment, just things that are, that make us different, that the contrast is liberating, right? So if we get to say, this is who I am and what I like and what I feel in this moment, right, that to me is liberating, to feel like I don't have to do it like everyone else to be good, or I don't have to be at a certain stage by a certain age to make it right, or I don't have to be the best at something to still be really good. Maybe that's not my goal, is to be the absolute pinnacle best, like, swimmer or table tennis player or even the speaker in the world of, like, there's a speaking award that's, like, the National Speaker of the Year or whatever. I'm like, that's not a word that motivates me, right? What motivates me is speaking to people. So I'm not going to go for that. And if someone says, did you win any award? I'll say, no, I didn't try for any award, right? So the idea of contrast, the things that are in you that make you unique, that make you special, that drive you, even if you're not perfect at them, even if you're starting late, even if you don't know how it's going to work out. That's what I keep thinking, this idea of, like, liberation and freedom of self-expression, creativity, joy, connectedness, doing something for the sake of doing it, not for the outcome necessarily, right? And I think in my own life, when I think about even starting my speaking career, I wasn't like, I'm going to get a website and get my cards out and be a speaker. I was more like, I really love speaking about psychology. How can I do that? And it's so interesting because I just started with my staff at school, right? And then someone said, oh, you should speak at a conference. And I tried to speak at a conference. And that grew, right? And then I had to be telling stories, and someone's like, you should do a show. So I did a show in someone's living room for 20 friends, right? And this has turned into also when I got called to do this podcast, so this radio show, right? Sometimes you just say, I don't know how to do that, but let me say yes. Let me try. What can it grow into? If I keep creativity, hope, and open-mindedness alive.
Yeah. There's nothing more than comparison slash in comparison with the energy of looking at something else or someone else and thinking, they're doing it better than me. There's nothing that will shut off the creativity valve faster than that. It literally stops it because it allows for us to believe that we do not have a unique creative idea ourselves. It steps into the realm of you're not good enough without even saying you're not good enough, right?
Oh, I have a perfect story about this, Dr.
Go for it. Go for it.
Well, I was thinking, so I was on a call one time with a person who was talking about doing an EQ training, and my manager at the time was on the phone with it, so my agent manager person was on the phone, me and the client, and they said, we were talking about price and everything else like that, and the person was like, that's ridiculous. I mean, anybody can speak on IQ. Like, anybody. We can find anyone to speak in IQ. And I sat there, you know what I said on the call, because this was a three-way call and nobody could see us. It's all on the phone. And I thought, he's right. I mean, there's so many EQ speakers. Everyone could speak. Who am I? And then my agent says this. She's like, you can find another speaker, but you won't get Carrie Knutson. And when she said that, she goes, yeah, you're right. You will. There's plenty of speakers on EQ, but there's no one like Carrie Knutson. And when she said it, my eyes, I was like, that she's right. There's no one that brings me better than me to the table, right? And a million people can talk about a topic, but I'll only talk about it in my way. And that moment shifted my consciousness because in one second I was like, he's right. Who am I to speak about EQ? I don't even have a PhD. And I just have a master's and only I'm just pretending to be a speaker. And then when she said that, you're right. You are right. But you won't get Carrie Knutson. I mean, just lit me up. And I always say that to myself, right? There are plenty of people doing what I want to do, but there's no one who will do it like me, right? So I'm going to go ahead and do it like me.
And don't you think, I mean, you know, we're going to take a short break soon and come back. But that really talks to why we're each unique, doesn't it? Doesn't it talk to the fact that, yes, we're all human beings and maybe you're a woman, I'm a woman, but each of us have our uniqueness, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we have our different interests. We have our different life experiences, you know, and that shapes us, right? It really talks to us. I have never really honored my past more than I'm starting to now. Mm-hmm. You know, I have my history and growing up and marching and protesting for equal rights and women's rights and LGBTQ rights before it was even LGBTQI something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I started to look back at that and what that has done to shape me. We're all unique, and yet we're all perfectly unique, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I love that. We are, and that's beautifully said, Dr. Pat.
And, you know, one of the things, too, is by being perfectly unique, we get to fully express that.
Yes, and this is, I always think about this, especially this time of year when I see flowers. Do you know the sheer joy from watching flowers bloom in the spring? But I look at all the trees and the bushes and the flowers themselves, and I'm like thinking, can you imagine if one's like, well, you have purple blooms and I have red. You started 2 weeks later and I'm already fully bloomed, or your blooms are like kind of round and yours are like open. I keep thinking the reason we love flowers, I should say the reason I love flowers and I find such joy in this season, is everything's blooming in its own time, in its own way, and it's perfect for what it is. And it reminds me every time I walk around my neighborhood, like, I'm blooming too in my time, in my season, in my way. And sometimes I'll just repeat that. I'm blooming in my time, in my season, in my way. And whatever's happening is perfect for me right now. And I have to say that in times when I'm calm, because sometimes in times when I get anxious, I forget. And that's when I start to compare, and I do get nervous, right? And I'm like, wait, no, I'm not yet. And that other part of me says, no, you're not. And I have to have that higher self say, yes, you are. Yes, you are. And so, spring is a reminder of that.
I want to talk about that when we come back from break, because, you know, what we're talking about is comparison in the form of rejection, right? Mm-hmm. Comparison in the form of rejection. And what does that mean? Comparison in the form of rejection. I get calls from a lot of, I don't know what their names are, their official names, media experts, or my friend said they're media headhunters, meaning they're recruiters like that. And I get a lot of calls from them, and, you know, almost every call, they're kind of disappointed. And, you know, maybe one or two are not, but they want to talk to me about the network. And they want to ask me what market comparison I've done. Meaning, you know, market comparisons. You're launching something. Did you check what other people are doing? Did you look, you know, like when you go to publish a book, you have to check the market.
Sure.
And they're always disappointed when I say, no, I didn't do that. You know, I get my orders. They're divinely guided. When my orders come down and they're divinely guided, I just do it. I don't have to check the market. Mm-hmm. And they're highly critical of that. They want to know, didn't you compare it to this or didn't you compare it to that? When we come back, can you hit a button that says, I'm not going to do that today, because it will come to me in a form of rejection? We're going to take a short break, everybody. Carrie Knutson. Yep, this is Get Big Out Loud. And when we come back, we're going to get really big out loud, because we know the consequences of this. We're going to share some stories about what happens when you compare and reject. Compare and reject. We'll be right back. Can a cup of Joe support ALS?
May 14th. If you go to any one of our shops, proceeds from every cup go to research to find cause. If you don't have a shop near you, you can go to DutchRoad.com and donate. The goal is $1.6 million. All of our releases, all of our great customers, it's going to take extraordinary effort from all of us.
Let's talk about ALS. Go to DutchBROSSandSam.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Steffen each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Tune into the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show, Heart Change Consciousness, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Patricia McMahon, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia, and I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that a whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore Earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in, turn us on. And by the way, you know, we are here by the grace of you-know-who, but also we have Benny and Olivia doing all the right things. I think, believe it's Olivia right today. And, yeah, Olivia's at the helm. You know, so if you're watching us on Facebook, on our Facebook as opposed to and our YouTube, you know, that's Olivia and Jacob. They tag team. And then Benny has been doing my show, both audio and now across YouTube, for like a gazillion years. And, you know, he's...
I look great for being a gazillion, by the way. Thank you. I do.
Do you look good?
I would hope so.
Are they going to make you, like, get a camera because of the YouTube thing, the live streaming YouTube? Are they going to make you get a camera? Because we're trying to figure out how to get Olivia and Jacob on the camera without screwing up OBS. Are you going to have to get a camera, B?
We already have a camera. We're actually using it otherwise.
But we don't see your face.
Because it's doing something else. How else can we see you, Pat?
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm not multitasking, so I'm just going to say. But here's the thing. Carrie, before we jump into this, we got some stories to tell. Before we jump into this, this is something you help people with because underneath this is emotional intelligence. It is the core. So during the break, you took a picture, and I grabbed black or gray lipstick. I have never worn this before, but it was the only thing I could get my hands on for a picture. And so there it is. So everybody out there, if you're looking at the gray lipstick, maybe I didn't put it on enough. Olivia will tell me or Benny will tell me. I don't know. Can I wear gray? Wow. How does that compare to my gray? Or the gray that the ladies from En Vogue would wear. Am I going to make that comparison? Is it bothering me? Carrie, how do we find out about you?
Well, you go to Knutson Speaks KNUTSON.com or any social media at Knutson Speaks, and it's K-N-U-T-S-O-N. And what you're talking about is my main topic is emotional intelligence, but my entire business grew from one topic, talking about emotional intelligence. And then, like you said, that spread into, like, self-care, mindfulness, talking about this. I'm also talking about how dealing with difficult people or building better teams or so many things, but the root of everything I talk about is around emotional intelligence and how we can use it to positively impact our lives, whether that be through speaking or coaching or show or just radio show, right? Like, all the things I'm doing, and I renamed my company from Knutson Consulting to Knutson Speaks because I want to speak about this. And that's what I feel like my gift and my gift to speak and to talk and to articulate these ideas.
You know, this is the hot button. We're on the hot seat. Anybody out there struggling with comparing? Maybe it's just me and Carrie. Maybe it's just us for a minute. But if you are, give us a call, 1-800-930-2819. Give us a call. Maybe you can get some help. I want to show you this key little places it pops up, and you comment on it, Carrie, right? All right?
Yeah. Comparing myself?
So here's the deal. You start out and you do a radio show, and you really don't know what the heck you're doing. Not you, personally.
Well, but that's true.
But this is me 17 years ago. And I insisted I wanted to do positive talk. And I was told by people at Jones and other media companies that nobody's going to listen to positive talk. And they did an analysis and they did a comparison. And they said, in order for you to be successful, you need to be the angry Dr. Pat. Not the Dr. Ruth, Dr. Pat. You need to be the angry Dr. Pat. I forget who they gave me back then to that in comparison. They sent a media coach to sit down with me because they wanted to pick up my show on a major broadcast network. But they wanted me to be the angry Dr. Pat. They didn't want me to talk to you about this. They wanted me to come on and say something like, you know what, Carrie, I don't agree with this. It's good to, whatever it was.
Sure.
And I did it for a week, and I fired the guy. And I had to face my, and this was early on, this is like 05, and I had to decide, am I going to compare myself to all of those syndicated? I know what he said. He said, you could be the female Howard Stern. Now, I grew up listening to Howard. Okay. Did I want to become the female Howard Stern? Would I have to compare myself every day on air to whether or not I was being the female Howard Stern?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to make a conscious decision, but it stayed with me for about 6 months. See, can you talk to that? Can you talk to when we feel like we're rejected if we're not something that somebody else wants us to be? Like they compare us to that, right?
Yeah, I think rejection is so interesting because rejection can come externally or internally. So externally, if you feel rejected because you're not what you should be, right, you're comparing yourself to others, and then you might be rejected, and that reinforces that you're not good enough. So let's say you try to do something, and someone says, who do you think you are to do that? Or, like, it wasn't perfect, so it was all right. Or you get feedback like, that wasn't interesting, or I didn't like the way you painted that, or that wasn't cool, or why are you wasting your time? Any number of little comments, small or big, right? That the outside rejection that happens when we put ourselves out there, so we cross our comfort zones to do something, outside rejection is real, right? And we're faced with that a lot. But what I tend to think is more of a thing is then we internalize the rejection as a reason to say, see why I can't? And then we reject ourselves. We reject our own desires. That little spark that wanted to try something gets rejected. And I'll just say, here's an example of when we started doing this radio show, and I said, hey, I'm going to do a radio show. And someone said, do you even know how to do that? And I'm like, no, but I'm going to learn. And they're like, well, won't that compete with your speaking if you're on a network? I'm like, no, this network's really cool because they want to promote me and I want to promote them. It's a cross promotion. And I was like, are they going to steal your ideas? I'm like, no, I get to have my ideas, and then I talk with Dr. Pat, and it's really cool. Like, but the whole, that kind of, like, don't you think you should just stick to speaking? Like, And also, who do you think you are to do a show? And then me saying, who do I think I am to do a show?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So external rejection, we can easily internalize it, and then that it becomes a rejection of ourselves, but more so than that, our little dreams and hopes, those little tiny things that are actually what I feel is the lifeblood of people. What makes the difference between living and existing? It's the little sparks of energy, joy, love, creativity, delight, fun, excitement, right? When you let yourself be present. And I think part of us has to detach from what our minds naturally want to do, which is squish it because we're scared. And then we also have to, I call it shields up. Whenever I'm doing something big, I put shields up from outside criticism until I'm ready. Because I need thoughtful criticism and feedback, right? I've done so many things that people have given me feedback on that have helped me be better in all areas of my life. But before I do anything and accept anything, I say, whatever I do in the moment is the best I have with what I can right now.
Yeah.
And you have to preserve that. That's self-preservation so you can keep your strength up. Because, again, I think it's just the littlest flicker that you have to protect from outside and inside forces.
Okay, I'm going to hit something that is really so insidious, so off-putting, so damaging to us personally. We've been talking about ourselves focusing on the outside. I want to really go to what happens when we focus and compare ourselves from the inside. I want to talk to women, I don't know men. One of the most insidious comparison we do is around body image.
Yes.
Body image. It is not only a showstopper. We begin the body image thing at a very young age. It becomes cellular. It moves into almost every decision we'll make. I mean, I know I've learned to evolve. When I pick up a lipstick I've never worn before, I'm not even sure it's a lipstick. I don't know if it's an eyeliner, an eyeshadow. I don't know. I know I've evolved. When I pick it up, I look at it, and it looks a little black and gray. Now I look like somebody from The Walking Dead today. But I get it, and I put it on because we wanted a picture. So right there, having lipstick on to do a picture is embedded. It's ingrained in me. And we are not talking enough about comparison, rejection, and body image. Take it away.
Yes, I love that you brought that up. And I do believe, especially for women, it is ingrained from a young age, what I should look like, what I should weigh, what I should wear, what's acceptable. And then if you look at what we do to celebrities, I've never seen men compared as much as women with, like, what they wear on the red carpet, what they look like. Or you have a TV news anchor. A man could wear a jacket and the same tie all week, and no one would comment. But a woman's outfit is always up for criticism and critique. And women themselves then aren't for criticism and critique. They look this way. They don't look enough this way. They're too this. They're too that. And then we buy into this idea, and I totally struggle with this, too. Like, am I good enough? Am I beautiful? Am I pretty? Am I too fat to do whatever I'm going to do? That's always in the back of my head, like that whole thing of, like, weight and acceptance and being the right size to do something. And I think, again, it's what you see on TV, too, is, like, if you're not in the bracket of what's the norm, either on one side or the other, you find yourself, like, do I fit? Am I okay? And I do feel... But that is, like you said, a lot of the core of why we don't let ourselves do things and why I can't because, or I'm not good enough because. And a lot of it is based around our looks and how we get judged both ways, externally and internally. And I think it's been interesting. I told you on the break, I don't wear makeup. I never have. And when I did my first video shoot, the guy's like, do you have any makeup at all? And I was like, no, I don't even know where I would get makeup because you have lip balm. And he goes, just look your lips at me. So I had to go to be on video, like, figure out how makeup works. And over my time, for proms or dances, for my one-woman show, and for when I got married, those are the times I've worn makeup. And my kids are even like, oh, my God. And I was like, I know, this is something I do when I dress up. But I have friends who, like, won't leave the house without makeup. Right? But it's our difference in conditioning, right? And I know it's funny. For me, makeup hasn't been a big thing at all. I haven't thought about that. But, man, bathing suit season, Just say the word bathing suit and it could be a trigger for 100 things about what's wrong with my life instead of how I just want to go swim.
Yep. Yep.
And I think all of us have those things. If you look at it, you're too something, right? And you can put anywhere on the spectrum, or there's a trigger where you might feel fine in one environment, then put yourself in another one. And it's all about how you look. That, like you said, has been completely internalized, which is why we have to bring consciousness to that. Is look at what I'm conditioned to think about myself. Is it serving me? Is it helping me? Is it, am I worthy of more?
Yeah. And, you know, part of this, and let's keep rolling here without a break if we could, you know, part of this really comes to the place that we don't believe we have choice in the world.
Mm.
And when we don't believe we have choice, we start to really look at the coulda, woulda, shouldas. Let's jump to what happens when people hit a point in time in their lives. You know, we've called it midlife crisis, but to be honest with you, it's happening more rapidly now. Okay. We're in a fast-paced society. You know, you can be 30 and have what they call a midlife crisis. You can be 20, especially in the middle of COVID. You know, I don't know any 21-year-old or someone graduating college right now that's not having a midlife crisis. We got to come up with a better name for it.
Right? But that comes the crisis of conscience. What you're doing is at odds with who you are or circumstances, and I have you like made you believe certain things. Like, And I do think a crisis of conscience can happen at any age. It's like the wake-up call of our lives, right? Like, two things that I think make that happen are, one, when our internal system is like, hey, it kind of butts heads with how we're living our lives and saying, you're not happy. This isn't what you're supposed to do. Like, or you did all the things you thought you should do, and you're still not happy. And so the internal voice in us, it says, like, you're not happy.
So what's the antidote to this? Because, you know, look, everybody listening to this, they're feeling the tinge, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're getting the tinge of, yeah, did that comparison today. Yeah, dropped my child off at school. Maybe I shouldn't have put that outfit on him. Whatever that is. What's the antidote to this? What is the, what I call release valve?
Sure. The release valve is your conscious mind coming in to say, well, first, take a breather. Like, anytime you have those thoughts, the instinct is to crush them. Like, don't think that way. Don't do that. You're doing it wrong. Look at you again, judging yourself. So then you're criticizing yourself for being critical. Like, and that's the loop, the negative feedback loop that doesn't stop. So instead of judging, the first thing I say is just notice. Notice when you do those things to yourself. Notice when you start the comparison, right? And to me, just the first act of noticing, oh, I'm comparing myself right now. Oh, I'm making a judgment on that person or myself or this. I'm noticing. Then once you notice, it becomes neutral. You can neutralize the thought because we're so used to it. It's good or bad, right, wrong, yes, no. And we live in that world. If you notice and say, oh, I just did a judgment, can I neutralize this? Right? Can I neutralize this to be like, is this serving me in any way? And can I go more to contrast than comparison? In that moment, can I highlight the contrast? Or, and also, Dr. Pat, sometimes we really, it's funny how we compare ourselves. Like, it's ridiculous. I'm going to share just a real quick story about this.
Wait.
We have to laugh at ourselves to be like, oh, my God, look what I just did. Like, so when I was first starting to speak, I wanted to speak. I hadn't really spoken a lot yet. I just was wanting to. I had that feeling like, and I went to this big conference, and I saw this guy on the stage who was really overweight, in my opinion. And I got mad in that moment. I'm like, who does he think he is? What is he doing up there on that stage? Doesn't he know he's fat? He's the speaker, and he's just out there talking like no one's watching. And I said, oh my God, Jay, you've been using your excuse of your weight and say, I'm too fat to do this thing. And then here's the person doing it who you perceive, you know, is too fat. And then look at what you're doing. And I had to laugh in that moment because it was like a slap in the face of reality. I'm like, I'm mad because he's doing what I want to do, looking whatever size he is and feeling damn good about it, right? And it took that moment for me to wake up to my own thought process and limitations, but I had to laugh in that moment because I'm like, wow, look what he just did, right?
Yeah.
Notice first, notice, and then neutralize, and then make a choice that is different than going down the rabbit hole of comparison and choose to bring up your contrast, your uniqueness, or just have it be okay for what it is in the moment. It's the choice you made to put on the black lipstick in the moment. It's the choice I made to not have any lipstick at all during my first video. It's a choice I made, too, when you think all these choices you make every day. I made the choice with the best choice with what I had at any given moment. And that's it. There's no judgment, just that is it.
Oh, so notice, neutralize, and then naturalize.
Oh.
Because when you go to notice, neutralize, and then naturalize, what you're saying is, I'm naturalizing. That's the lipstick I got on today.
Right.
This is the way I look, folks. Yeah, I'm wearing black today. I don't know. Maybe because it's the day after Mother's Day. I don't know. Maybe it's because I felt like the black vibe today. But if I don't go to that neutralized place, the naturalizing is what I hear you saying. It means return to our natural, authentic state. Which says, I don't need to wear makeup. Mm-hmm. I don't need to worry about, I want to go swimming. By the way, when I get in that pool, you ain't going to know what I'm wearing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're like a keeper.
And that's that confidence. You're speaking to the naturalizes the confidence that we all have. Like, think about babies. They have so much confidence. They get what they need when they need it. They spit on themselves. They do whatever. They love themselves. They love themselves, right? And I think what you're talking about, that naturalizes, like, I'm going to love myself in this moment for my choices, and I'm going to be where I'm at right now. Not to mean I can't change or grow, but I'm going to be where I'm at. I'm going to own it. Like you said, I'm going to own it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I got into the worst argument with somebody I know when she was just, like, crazy about what her little baby was wearing. And I just looked at her and I said, okay, let me just pull you in. The baby has no idea what it's wearing. Okay, baby is not even like a year old. I mean, trust me. The baby doesn't know what color you have on, doesn't really care what color you're on, wants to eat and it wants to poop. That's what the baby wants. Oh, my gosh. Like, she didn't speak to me for a month. And I learned a little bit more diplomacy about it moving forward. You know, she caught me at a moment. Look, this is one of the most important topics I can think about right now for a time. Carrie, I want to thank you for that. What's your personal message? And again, how do people find out more about you? And thank you for bringing these powerful conversations to Get Out Loud.
Well, thank you back, Dr. Beck, because without this opportunity, I feel like you said, here's an opportunity, and then that voice in me said, take it. And then people like on your team said, we'll help you, right? And then now here we are having this and feeling every episode we do, I feel better and better about doing
it. Yeah.
And I feel like my closing message today is this idea that if you remember, if comparison is a thief, contrast is a liberator, right? So find that contrast. Bring it out. Neutralize those situations so you can say to naturalize them, right? But bring consciousness to your thoughts. Get off of autopilot, even for a little bit. You don't have to do it all the time, but in those moments, especially those big critical moments, decide that you are going to step back from the action of responding to that rejection or feeling and just step back for a moment, right? You have so much power, and the world needs what you want to put. The world needs table tennis people and square dancers and speakers and knitters, you know, and gardeners. The world needs whatever talent you have, whatever way you want to express it, not because you want to get the medal or the award, because it needs to be expressed. Just like the flowers, they need to express. Just like the trees blooming, it's time to express. So my end thing is please do this in the spirit of the world needs your greatness. Whatever that looks like for you, please don't deny us your awesomeness.
Carrie Knutson, please, website.
Knutsonspeaks.com, KNUTSONspeaks.com. You can find me on all social media channels and my website and get a hold of me that way. I love connecting with people. So if anything we said today moved you, you want to reach out, please connect with me. I'd love to hear from you.
And Carrie's got it right. Comparison will crush your dreams. So.
You have been listening to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will help you to know which thoughts are keeping you small in order for you to get big.
Get big and live your life out loud. For more information, visit KnutsonSpeaks.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you. Benny Mather is here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. Well, good thing, folks. So far, no major blocking or accidents to report at the moment. We do have some slowing still on 405 northbound at the 169 interchange as you're rolling through Sunset Boulevard and cresting up through the Kennydale Hill. Good thing it'll break free at the top there in the Newcastle area and in that construction zone. But that's all right. Stay tuned because coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's Recovery Recharge Radio. With your host, Ellen Stewart, the pushy broad from the Bronx. Topic for the day, Build Back Better. Special guest, Jeff Bryant.
NBC News Radio, I'm Tim Roberts. The FBI confirms DarkSide ransomware is responsible for the devastating cyber attack that shut down the Colonial Oil Pipeline. The Bureau says actions from the Russian group led to pipeline networks being affected. At the White House, Deputy National Security Advisor Elizabeth Sherwood Randall says the company is assessing when it's safe to bring the pipeline back online.
Thus far, Colonial has told us that it has not suffered damage and can be brought back online relatively quickly, but that safety is a priority, given that it has never before taken the entire pipeline down.
The pipeline supplies fuel for much of the eastern part of the U.S. Sherwood Randall says there is not currently a fuel shortage. President Biden is addressing the nation on the economy. Correspondent Kelly O'Donnell reports on the president's agenda.
Advisors say he will make the arguments about some of the issues that will tee up the week ahead, which deals with infrastructure, the spending that he wants to do to try to create jobs through those different kinds of projects around the country.
Biden plans to hold a bipartisan meeting with congressional leaders this week. A suspect is in custody after a deadly shooting at a U.S. immigration office in Orlando. Officials say a man and a woman were heading into the building when another man drove up and began firing away. One of the more controversial provisions of Georgia's new voting law is the one that makes it illegal to hand out food or water to voters waiting in line at the polls. Senator John Ossoff is introducing a new bill at the federal level that would undo that.
It will protect the right of nonpartisan Good Samaritan volunteers to assist those voters who want to participate in our democracy but are having to wait in these lines.
Ossoff says he's introducing the Voters Access to Water Act. A recall notice has been issued by Ford Motor Company for 2016 to 2019 Explorer SUVs. The automaker says the roof rail covers could become loose or detached. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
What is hope? Hope to me was just that he would get to come home. I had no idea how hard it would be once he got back.
I wish she'd stop drinking so much. She thinks it's helping, but it's not.
I act like I don't care if he comes to my games, but I hope he does.
I hope you'd get help. Told me to stop asking. I didn't. And one day he asked for a ride.
Hope is knowing there are other families just like yours, that the veterans they love got helped and recovered. Go to maketheconnection.net and turn hope into action.
Well, let's go ahead and take a look now at Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly sunny skies today. High temperatures around 64, 65 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures dropping down to about 45, 46. For Tuesday and the rest of the week, partly to mostly sunny skies. High temperatures in the mid to upper 60s all week long. Partly to mostly cloudy skies through the overnight. Low temperatures in the upper 40s to low 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, pushy broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-889. 1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Welcome, welcome, Transformation Talk Radio listeners. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the Pushy Broad from the Bronx. Welcome to my show, Recovery Recharged, with my illustrious co-host, friend, and colleague, Dr. Pat. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I love this. Build back better. I can't wait. And you've got a really, you've got somebody joining us. We're just going to blow this through the roof today.
I think so. I brought in an expert, and I figured, you know what? Everybody is talking about building back better, okay? It's all over the place. And now that we are reemerging post-pandemic, we really have to talk about how to build back better emotionally, right?
Yeah,
psychologically.
Yeah.
Bring the behavior to the front of it. So I decided that I should bring along an expert today, somebody that really knows how to help people build back better. So we're going to talk about the challenges and opportunities that await us. We're going to talk about how we have built our emotional muscle and what we have gained from being in the pandemic. Sometimes we've lost some things, but we're really going to talk about the positive side of what we've learned and how we emerge as better human beings on an emotional level. So with that, I want to introduce to everyone Jeff Brain. Jeff is exactly that. He has been in the field of behavioral health for over 30 years. He has a master's degree in clinical psychology. He's a certified trauma specialist and a certified educational planner. Among all of the things that he's done in 30 years working with adults and adolescents, he is now the executive director of a company called Coach Mentors. And that is a company that helps adolescents and adults basically build back better, which is exactly why I wanted here today. So let's start with Jeff. Good morning. How are you? Let's talk about some of the advantages and how we can build back better after the pandemic. So let's start with what we've actually learned in lockdown.
Good morning, Ellen and Dr. Pat. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you.
Yeah, so what have we learned, right? I think it's really important as we emerge from a challenging experience, it's been challenging, right, on many fronts, but what have we really learned about ourselves, about our families, about the way even the world can now work that will help us reconnect with what people call the new normal, right? It used to be, the new normal used to be 6 feet of distancing and mask wearing, but now we're starting to hear that we can begin to loosen up on all of that, right? So what does that mean for us? It's an exciting time. We can really, you can feel the energy of people getting ready to kind of get back into life as it used to be. But we all kind of know, if we really look at this, it's going to be different and it can be better.
Yes, and, you know, also, Dr. Pat, it covers four areas, right? It covers family and relationships. It covers work, right? What else does it cover?
School.
And parenting.
Yes.
It covers parenting. That's, you know, the numbers are showing parenting.
Yeah.
I'm just a little bit annoyed at what they're calling this. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but, you know, I don't know why we are downplaying the effect of the pandemic. Today's show is not going to do that. You know, but when you think about this one thing I'm going to throw out there and like you both to comment, when you think about episodes of heavy drinking, that's four or more drinks in a few hours, increased by 41%, and call it a significant uptick, I don't even know what uptick means. What does that word mean? What is that?
Well, it means different from before, significant increases in what had occurred on a normal basis. I mean, for, look, you know, I'm a recovering alcoholic, so as far as I'm concerned, that was normal for me before I was in recovery, you know. But we've talked so many times about the fact that alcohol sales have risen over 500%. People were in isolation, so that the drinking was more, the addiction was prevalent. People were getting drugs delivered to their door. All of these things emerged in the pandemic in a negative way. But for many of us in recovery, it allowed us to really look introspectively and stay in recovery and turn around and say, this is my shot to do something better for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you feel that way, Jeff? Have you seen that with your clients?
Definitely, definitely. People are looking for what lies ahead and looking for guidance and direction and support on how do I now move forward.
Well, if we look at family and relationships, we look at a lot of positive aspects of the pandemic, right? We look at all the people, that were doing all these creative things, right? I learned to have a green thumb. I hated plants before, and now I love plants, right? I mean, you know, people were doing puzzles. They were baking. They were doing all kinds of things. Pat, did you do new things?
I got two total knee replacements.
Yes.
I mean, come on. You know, like, I wouldn't have done it. But what happened is all of the sports I played, all of the outdoor things went away. And I looked and I said, huh, this is the time. Call my doctor. Talk to my doctor. And, you know, here's an interesting thing, too. I never expected to move my home. And very unexpectedly, it was like, okay, we've got to renovate the place. You got to go. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but try to find a new place to live, a rental, right? Because basically that's all the short notice I had to do anything. But try to find that in the middle of a pandemic when everything is virtual. So I had to learn how to put apps on my phone for just about anything, including ordering a pizza. Come on.
That's right.
But look at what you have from there. I mean, that's part of the advantages of being in a lockdown. We are learning new technologies that people before were very afraid of, especially people in our generation, right?
Yeah,
The hip generation. The people that would never go virtually, right, are now all of a sudden. I mean, look at what we're doing here.
And look at you and me. We decided to wear black today. Both of us, black turtlenecks, we're wearing black. What's up with that?
Yeah. That's because it's 40 degrees here. It's May and it's 45. I mean, it's insane. It's just insane. But let's look at the whole new work experience.
Yeah.
Okay, Jeff, let's talk about work and talk about the advantages and what we're learning now as we're emerging in our own productivity. Tell us about that.
Well, sure. So many people have had to reinvent how they go to work every day, how they engage work. Some people had to change work, right, just to adapt and with the changing environment out there. But doing, right, we've all heard the Zoom meetings, right, all those spontaneous things that used to happen at work where you'd meet somebody in the hallway and have a conversation. Now it all has to be intentional. We actually have to be intentional in making those connections with those that we work with that we're now no longer sharing an office with.
You know, it also takes a great deal of self-discipline, which is something that people get all the time, you know, on a daily basis. Dr. Pat and I do this from a studio or do this from our home studio, and we have spent years having self-discipline, right? Pat, you know, you go from one show to the next. I go from one radio show to the next. So we have to do what we need to do, which means I have to come into my office and dress and be, you know, on camera and be alive. But for many, many people, it took a certain discipline to adhere to work on a daily schedule, right?
Look,
I want to say this. I have to give a lot of kudos right now. And we say a lot about corporate America. And we say a lot about small businesses. And they're not always pleasant. I want to just talk for a minute. I have no
financial association with Zoom. We're almost at the point where we're taking Zoom for taking advantage of Zoom. But Zoom showed up as this little teeny thing that you could do. And before you know it, adapted and continues to adapt and literally made homeschooling or team student schooling for those that can access it easy. For parents that didn't know the Zoom to the this to the that, it was a one button. I don't think we would have done things quite like that. I just don't think we would have made those changes. I don't know, Jeff, how about you?
I agree with you, Dr. Pat. I think the pandemic really forced us to face things and face challenges that we wouldn't have willingly gone into, and yet we just threw ourselves into them out of necessity, and yet so many people are recognizing the opportunity that exists there and how they can use these new technologies and these new ways of being to really help how to be more connected to one another.
Mm-hmm. And that certainly comes with a lot of gratitude, right? Like you said, for schools. Look at how many parents are so much more grateful for teachers today.
Yeah.
Just simply because they understand how difficult it is to hold kids' attention and to teach and to have things moving in a very productive manner. So that it has completely changed the face of learning. And no matter how many times we now have online schooling for adults, people realize that there needs to be an emotional connection, correct? The actual face-to-face. So, Jeff, let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about the connection, the actual physical connection between people. And how
I think that, you know, the pandemic has, I think, heightened, we take things for granted, don't we? And I think the pandemic really created that sense of how important it is for us to be in relationship and to be connected. And despite all the great stuff that Zoom and all the electronic connections have created for us, we do recognize that it's a stopgap. It's not a substitute. We still want to touch our loved ones and hug the babies and kiss grandma, right? That we kind of now really need that, right? And that's what's kind of exciting about the reemerging, that we can now, having had this opportunity of learning how to stay connected in ways that we wouldn't have ordinarily done, like you said, Dr. Pat, but now we're also excited about going to visit and really hugging, right?
Yeah.
And that's really important for us as human beings, to have that connection, that physical, I'm here with you physically.
Yeah. You know, we are moving in a direction now, right? You know, I heard this morning that there may be an announcement that we can even be together more.
Yeah.
Like, be together more in public, with or without a mask. I heard that. I want to talk about and have you really get both of your perspectives. We have made all these great changes, and they're working. Some people fear that they will go back to the way it was, and they don't want to. We have Ellen, to take your words, right? Pushy Broad from the Bronx. We have built back better, but we want to build forward better. And the fear is that we're not. We're going to go back to the way we were, and that is not or has not been working as well. I don't know what you guys think about that.
That's a very interesting concept, and you're absolutely right. There are some things about this pandemic and how we led our lives that have continued to go forward, and that's a wonderful thing. An example of that would be like many, many businesses who took up vast real estate in buildings and employed millions of workers in very expensive office situations can now save that money by everybody learning to work from home. That's a plus. that is really a plus for so many different reasons, because many of those expenses are wasted because people now understand that they can be just as productive working in a virtual situation. So some things will not go back. What do you think about that, Jeff? Do you think we're going back to the old ways, and what do we do from here?
I agree with you both. I think that build forward better is the right concept, because the world has changed in ways that will be permanent. Like you spoke about, Ellen, corporations are my goodness, if you tried to convince companies to let people work from home, there was this resistance, but we were forced to do it, and just like human beings right now, all of a sudden, wow, what a great idea, and here we go, right? And I think in many different ways, schools, businesses, there's going to be a lot of changes that will just become part of our new society, our new culture, and there's a lot of opportunities still yet that will develop out of those changes that, you know, can give people hope and excitement about what lies ahead. And so it is better than just going back to the old normal. It is now we have catapulted ourselves forward out of this adversity.
Well, I thought, you know, you and I talked about something extremely interesting in this back and forth, and one of these things that really struck me was we're still a risk to each other. Jeff, you and I talked about this. We're still a risk, okay? I see you, it's great, but we can't be in the same room at the moment because we would still need to be 6 feet apart indoors, and you would still be a risk to me, yet, Jeff, like you said, we're still all in this together.
Yeah.
So it's a very strange dichotomy of we have to work on this together apart.
That's right. Well, and it is an interesting dynamic, right, that we're so used to just being with each other, and now when we are with each other, we mask up, right? And there's some emotional thing like, wow, I'm risky to somebody else. And so there's a psychological, emotional thing that happens there, like, right? So now we're not all... We were taught not to be safe physically with each other. So now we have to learn how to come back together and in a healthy way reconnect with each other. And as you said, Dr. Pat, right, over time, lesser than 6 feet apart and then mask-free eventually, right?
Yeah. Well, look, I'm a business owner. I'm a network owner. We're building out our studios because people literally want to fly here from all over the country and the world. They want to come and do their show in the studio. And yet the first thing for me is asking my producers and, of course, Jessica, you know, how do you feel? See, for me to just come in and say, oh, Dr. Fauci said, maybe no mask, that doesn't cut it. You know, there's got to be a way for people to be able to say, I know that's true, but you know what, Dr. Pat, I would really like to sit here as a producer. I would just like to wear my mask,
right?
These are challenges that we face now, and you must build forward better by considering all of this in order to get the best productivity you can. Because, look, if you want to shut down your creativity and productivity, have people feel insecure. I spent at least 2 years studying insecurity. I will tell you, if you want to cut off your flow, your juices, your competitive advantage in the workplace, just bring insecurity and fear into your workplace. Just
go
do it.
That's right.
You're absolutely right, which takes us into we need to be more prepared when we reemerge. So that feeling of restraint that we talked about, that you're a threat to me, but I still have to go past that and come together, is a very difficult thing to overcome. So, Jeff, you're going to talk to us about the challenges and opportunities and how we actually overcome this and how we break it down and we really get prepared to reemerge, which is a wonderful thing. So you also talk about adversity and challenge and that it can strengthen us, but sometimes, sometimes we have to overcompensate for it. So people are now turning to support, which is why I still have my 30-minute free on recovery recharge, which you can go to any time. And also, Jeff has Coach Mentors, which is a service that can really help you if you need coaching about reemerging.
Can I make a comment? Can I just
sure.
make a comment? Okay. This is me now with my psychological behavior hat on. One of the greatest misunderstandings or misfiction that we can have as a society in the United States is the following. And it is this: to think that we needed all the coaching during COVID, when the reality is we need more coaching, more support in reemerging and rebuilding than we did in COVID. There are too many issues for people. There are much more complexity of each situation. Even, I was talking to somebody the other day, even coaching her on how to talk to her boss about, I need flex time 2 times a week. So the greatest thing, mistake we can make right now is thinking, I got this. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Jeff?
Agree, 100%, Dr. Pat. I mean, one of the things that Ellen and I were talking about is that risk of remaining stuck, right? And here we really have to tap into some of those positive qualities that allow us to take a good look at the things that we're concerned about and find and have the courage to name them, to identify it, and to say, I need help with that. Right, and then to go and find the right help and the right support. And I think you're right. A lot of people came looking for help during the pandemic, but it's even more important to do it now as we're reemerging, because now we're really taking some of the challenges. We're still carrying some of those challenges with us, and we're facing all these new opportunities. So that's a perfect time to get that coaching and mentoring support.
Absolutely, and the perfect time to start executing. And you see this all over, because we spent a little over a year being very introspective. So yeah. We were dealing with our emotions, with our mental health, with all of the things and all of the feelings that could have brought us down, the isolation, the fear, the anxiety, the depression, and of course the loss and grief, and so many other things, the change in the situation, the control, the anger, and like Jeff said, the risk of remaining stuck. All of those things, emotional things we were dealing with during the pandemic, and now that we're coming out, we're becoming new people. We're dealing with things. Did you see on TV Oprah and Prince Harry are going to start something on Apple TV about mental health, because it's coming to the forefront and people are realizing it? They're going to come up with a new special called The Me You Can't See. And that, of course, is about how we are now reemerging, because we have spent so much time dealing with our emotions that now we're ready to handle it in the world. So what do you think, Dr. Pat?
I'll tell you what I think. I think it's great that they're doing it. I think without without organizations like the American Psychological Association and other organizations coming out and really calling it like it is at the federal level and saying what just happened in this country is not a simple thing. It's what my friend Stephanie Mines calls a shock. We're in shock. We're still in shock. Yeah. And when you're in shock and you come out of it, it's not like you can go from one day to the next, right? It's not that thing. It's not like, oh, my gosh, I have a cavity. I'm going to the dentist. The dentist is going to drill it out, and they're going to fill it, and I'm going to be able to eat. There will be a lot of people that will need help to get through this. And I'm glad Oprah's doing it. But until we can really call this what it is and say, on a massive level, people have gone through stress at a level they've never seen before, anxiety. People that have lost loved ones are now in post-traumatic stress disorder because they've been there in the hospital as they've seen their parents take that last breath.
right.
And by the way, if they walk into a store that requires a mask and they don't see people wearing it, it clicks in, and they are immediately in it. Until we start to talk the real deal and not fluff this over, we're not going to get it.
You're absolutely right, because these are large issues, and people think just because they are emancipated, so to speak, and they can get out into the world, that all of these problems don't exist anymore. And you're exactly right. When you emerge from shock, you're first beginning to do everything over again. Everything is new.
Yeah. Nothing. I love this topic. I'm so glad. Boy, we're going to go to break here in a second. I think, Ellen, how do people find out more about you, number one? Because you have been you have been busy helping. And also, how do they find out about Jeff? Let's give out some information if we can.
Well, right here now, you know, you guys can find me at pushybroadfromthebronx.com always, Transformation Talk Radio. You can call me on my 800 number, 800-889-1757. I'm still doing my free 30-minute stress COVID and post-COVID sessions. Please call me anytime. Jeff, tell our listeners how to find you.
The best way to find us is at coachmentors.com. All of the information about the coaching and mentoring support we provide and all of our different ways of contacting us is available right there at coachmentors.com.
Okay. So.
Let's go to break. I want to just make sure everybody knows this is a very special show for sure, but there's one thing for all of you to be thinking about. One, Recovery Research, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, you're going to be able to get her shows, her podcast. Today we're talking about Build Back Better. Our special guest, Jeff Brain, is joining us here today. And like we said, this is Jeff, somebody that is out in the world. He is that person that advises, counsels, guides youth, adults, all of the above, to help them move through the emotional, the mental, the physical part of what it means to excel and thrive in the world. We're going to take a short break, right, Ellen? And when we come back, what about health? What about health? What are the things that have been happening with health? What's going on in your life? And then we're going to move right on to talk emotional. Can a cup of Joe support ALS?
May 14th. If you go to any one of our shops, proceeds from every cup go to research to find cause. If you don't have a shop near you, you can go to deathrows.com and donate. The goal is 1.6 million, all of our releases, all of our great customers. It's going to take extraordinary effort from all of us.
Let's talk about ALS. Go to DutchBROSSandSam.com.
Caring for someone with a life-altering diagnosis? You are a care hero. Navigating the unfamiliar options can be overwhelming, but you are not alone. Tune in to A Cup of Comfort with me, Trish Lowe, twice monthly on Transformation Talk Radio. Let me guide you through your care hero journey by providing actionable information on how to care for a loved one in need. For more information about me, visit trishlaub.com. That's Trish Lowe, L-A-U-B as in boy, .com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories to teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Are you
to shift your life into overdrive and stop wasting your time? If so, then I want to invite you right now to the Body Regeneration Online Academy with me, Tracy L. In a world filled with so much information, you can get overloaded and confused, left feeling like you've tried everything and still no results. If this is you, then this platform is for you to help you step into your power, your intuition, and gain clarity. You will learn simple tools that you can use as you walk down the street, and I will teach you how to grow a stronger connection to the God consciousness. Imagine having me as your coach, shifting you, uplifting you, empowering you every week, and most of all, helping you stay connected so you can navigate your life journey with ease and grace. Nothing will be able to get in your way, but you will have a community filled with souls just like you to pick you up when you fall down and support you on your wins. No one can go this journey alone. If you are ready for your live activation, check me out at TracyLClark.com and join the TLC Body Regeneration Online Academy now.
Welcome back, Transformation Talk Radio listeners. This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx. I'm here with my friend and cohort, Dr. Pat. And I'm also here with Jeff Brain, and we are talking about building back better, which Dr. Pat really understood and is building forward better, because we want to be better than we ever were post-pandemic. So let's talk about how we actually do that and what we may be looking for, what problems are coming up for us that we may need coaching around, because Coach Mentors, Jeff's program, and working with the Pushing Broad as a coach would be very helpful to you, and we want to know what's going on with you. So, Jeff, let's identify some of the things that someone would need help around. Let's talk about that.
Sure. So, you know, with the adults that we're working with, a lot of adults are reexamining work, what they're doing for work, what they're finding meaningful, purposeful. Some of our young adults are floundering. They're not sure where, how they're going to kind of create direction and purpose. So this is an area that we do a lot of work in at Coach Mentors, is really helping young adults and adults kind of find that meaning and purpose in work during the day. What kind of excites you that you get passionate about, that you can put your skills and talents to? So that's a way in which we're providing that real, and this is critical at Coach Mentors, practical support. Really not just talking about things, but now let's making it happen, really finding that real support.
Well, now that so many people are trying to get back to employment, right, with all of these people unemployed, so I suppose you help with job search and completing applications and resumes and things like that, yes?
That's all correct, yes.
And also keeping people on task, because I think sometimes in the pandemic, people got a little lazy, right? I don't want to do anything. I want to look for anything, right? Pat, did you get lazy during the pandemic?
No, I didn't get lazy, and let me tell you why. It's a little bit unusual. I didn't have time to get lazy. And so for me, when I started this in December, I just thought, my gosh, these needs don't work. They haven't worked. Benny and I, we used to talk softball. I grew up very early age as an athlete. I damaged my knees, right? So I looked at this. But then unexpectedly for me, three things. They're all good. They turned out all good. After 14 years, had to move. But even more importantly, you know, Jessica, myself, we've been working on the technology to expand the network. So these pieces now are coming together. So we're sitting here, and we have to hire a couple of web people here. So for me, staying here and being able to work and heal, right, and now move, that has worked out for me. I was not in a position where I would be able to stop. And by the way, Linda's here. There's no way. There is no way on the face of the earth that you are going to sit here and sit on the couch and do nothing. That was not going to happen. Mow the lawn, sister.
I get it. Well, you know, you went through it emotionally, too. There was an emotional upheaval. I think we all went through an emotional upheaval. Yeah. We've lost friends. I've lost colleagues. I was astounded at the amount of young people that I dealt with in recovery as clients who were coming down with COVID. You know, there were so many things that we thought of in the beginning. We thought that this was just going to affect older people like ourselves. And then my client base was 20 and 30 years old, and they were contracting the disease, and it was very scary for them and quite scary for me as well. And even though people were getting used to virtual, which is wonderful because this is a lot of my business and my clients come from all over the world, and you guys know that, the ones that I, you know, deal with in, you know, in so many countries, understand that seeing me virtually is a blessing. I mean, this is something to be grateful for. So Zoom has given us a lot of gratitude, because if we had this pandemic 10 or 15 years ago, we would never have been able to get any kind of personal touch between us.
And everybody around us has also, how do I want to say this, Jeff, has also attempted to step up to also build forward better. You know, the schools have done this, and then private foundation people have set up places that kids could go that may not have high-speed internet in their homes, right? I mean, there's so many beautiful tentacles to this, right? There's so many people. The ripple effect of this, I do not think we're going to be able to measure, but I will tell you this. If we don't keep it in place, it's not going to be a fun time.
You're absolutely right, and we have to take the good from this and move it forward. So let's talk a little bit about what Coach Mentor does in the school process, because kids had a tremendous adjustment period. So how is Coach Mentor helping students?
Well, Ellen, so kids, many kids are thriving and doing well, but there's a lot of kids that we're losing, that we're struggling, that are not able to make the adaptation to this method of learning. And you know that there's a lot of ugly stuff that happens online with kids, right? And so this is where Coach Mentors has really been able to step in and help kids manage executive functioning skills, staying on schedule, developing a structure, getting things done, finding balance, where you're doing your schooling, you're doing other fun activities, you're learning kind of now how to get things structured. And that's been really instrumental for a lot of kids and families, of course, who are,
you think, you know, the impact
trying
is
to get back to work and all of that. And
Can I ask you a question there, Jeff, both of you? We haven't talked about the impact on children.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to take a moment to do that.
Yeah.
Because there is an impact on children. So when we think about Build Back Better, you know, what is that going to look like for children? Have we even asked them? You know, are we putting practices and things in place without finding out from them, we do want to be back in school, but you know what? Sometimes this digital format works for us.
Yeah.
What can you guys talk to the impact on children?
Jeff?
I think... Dr. Pat, that's one of the benefits that we're going to see going forward, that schools are not going to be as myopic as they were before, right? It was just this way of getting kids educated. We're hearing all over the place that schools, you know, lots of kids and teachers are excited to get back to school, but they're also going to continue to do virtual, right? Because that does work for some kids, where the in-school instruction becomes too emotionally overwhelming, too socially overwhelming, there's trauma, there's this or that. So that opportunity to have multiple ways in which kids can connect with schools and teachers, I think is going to be the new norm, right? It's going to be a way of serving more kids more individually.
I think you're right, and I also think that it has to be a combination of those things, Dr. Pat, because for some kids, it was, it's immensely impossible for a child, even an adult, to sit in front of a virtual learning situation for 2 or 3 or 4 hours at a time. That is insane. Nobody gets anything out of it. But the combination of virtual and in-person gives the child the individual attention that the child needs. It also allows the child to spend more time in a home environment, which is something the child is more comfortable with. With all of the parents that I have coached, they have had a chance to spend time with their kids. So not only in a school setting, but in an emotional communication bond with their child. Mm-hmm. Which in some ways makes it more difficult for the child to actually go to school because now they're so used to being home in the comfort of both mom and dad that sometimes socialized anxiety sets in where they no longer want to be in a social situation with other kids, which is exactly why it has to be a combination because it's important for kids to socialize. So tell us how Coach Mentors helps with that, Jeff.
Well, a significant thing, Ellen, that it differentiates Coach Mentors from other kind of coaching services or supports is that we show up in person, right? This is not just something done over the phone or over a Zoom kind of meeting. Part of how I describe this to parents is that a mentor is somebody who can come alongside of you, put your arm around your shoulder, and say, let's get this done together. Right? So there's that real sense of, let's figure this out. I'm not just going to talk about it with you and then hope you figure it out when you leave the office. This is, let's do this together. And there's something really powerful in that mentorship relationship that really helps people face challenges that before were really too daunting.
Well, it's nice to have a coach mentor, isn't it, Dr. Pat? It'd be a good idea for everybody.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I would not be here today. I have multiple coaches. I have multiple mentors. You know, from day one when I stepped out to do this, which I wasn't supposed to do, but really was. I mean, I didn't go to school to do this. You know, this is not what was on my check sheet. You know, my check sheet, according to my credentials, means I go work with the Deloitte Touche, a very large consulting firm. I make a lot of money, and I teach people how to navigate through change management, which is basically a lie. And I just couldn't do it. And, you know, anybody that talks to people and tries to create a productive organization in the middle of massive change without telling them the truth, you just don't build a foundation. I couldn't do it. And so that requires help. I have a spiritual mentor. I have a financial mentor.
Yes.
I have a mind mentor. I have a business development person. I bounce things off because I need help. And I think it's okay to say that.
And it's very hard for people to say that, and that's why you're here, because people understand you. That's why myself, as Pushy Broad from the Bronx, turns around and says, I'm here to help you. Let's, you know, wade in for free. Tell me what's going on as a coach, because you and I understand that it's hard to say I need help.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I want to ask a question to both of you. This has been an extraordinary time, and you have both coached and mentored people through this. You've worked with some people that have been at the bottom of the bottom, right, and have helped them rise up. I want to ask you both, from your perspectives, what do you think is the greatest strength that people are developing? What is that thing that they would probably not have developed, one, without your help, but also without the extraordinary circumstances that the pandemic has put in front of them? What do you think are some of the strengths you're seeing from people?
Well, the one that comes to my mind initially, Dr. Pat, is resilience, right? That people are finding that they have, there's something about, like, we now have survive this, right? And even each of us individually have found areas in which we needed to overcome. And so that tapping into and naming that resilience, that thing inside of you that, although it's clouded and sometimes we have that counter talk, right, or that back talk, but we can really figure out or learn that we are resilient people, that we can adapt and be flexible and learn things about ourselves that then mm-hmm. prepare us for what lies ahead.
Mm. Jeff, I think you're absolutely right. And it's said in so many different words, resilience, fortitude, a different kind of fearlessness, I think, and people understanding that no matter what, embracing change is something that we just have to understand. Otherwise, we sink. If we do not embrace change and understand that we are not stuck, then we will not survive. So you're absolutely right. And that's what I see in people, and that's what I see in recovery. And the people that stay in recovery turn around and say, what better way to tell the world I want to live than to stay clean and sober right in the middle of a life and death situation?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly why I stopped smoking, because I knew that if I contracted COVID, I would give myself no chance.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what people in recovery are saying about having an abstinence to alcohol or substance misuse.
Yeah.
I want to give myself a chance. If I have something out there that I can't control and it's coming my way, let me at least take control of the things I can control. And that's really what was happening in a whole new way. So recovery and resilience, like Jeff said, are just amazing. The people that are staying clean and sober are emerging in ways that they never thought they would. And mm-hmm. that's hope. That's hopeful. Mm-hmm. It really is. Go ahead,
Ellen, because I can't really express how important this conversation is. And I want to really talk to the people listening. I want to talk with you for a minute, because we don't know exactly what you're going through. We don't know it. We can only share what we've gone through and some of the people we've worked with. But here's what I'd like to say to you all. I know you've been buckling down. I know you've been alone. You feel the loneliness. And if you have a minute and hit the pause button for a second, and you're thinking, boy, I would love to have help. I would love to have a team. I don't even know what I don't know about my next move.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I don't know about what to do if something changes at work. I don't know what I don't know about this relationship I'm in that seems to be cracking up and down. I want to say to you, you're going to get some numbers today. Even if you don't know what you don't know about what you want to say to Jeff or Ellen, it is okay, but please pick up the phone, call, or email. That's what we're trying to say today. If they're not the people to help you, they will get you somebody to help you. What do you think, Ellen?
Just let everybody know where they can find you and where they can find information about Coach Mentors.
Sure. So Coach Mentors, our website is coachmentors.com. Our phone number is 866-205-4979. And if you want to email, you can email me directly at Jeff, J-E-F-S, at coachmentors.com.
Fantastic. And as always, pushyboardfromthebronx.com. I am here waiting for you, 800-889-1757. I've been on Transformation Talk Radio for close to 2 years now, and I have received many of your phone calls and helped quite a bit of you. And I am here, and I am waiting for you to come out, reemerge, and tell me what's going on. And like Dr. Pat said, Coach Mentors also takes a good look at adults and quite a few categories. Let's talk about some of those briefly. Let's talk about health and emotional well-being, Jeff. How does Coach Mentors help us out?
You know, so many people are facing with or reemerging with challenges, smoking and weight loss and healthy lifestyle, and we can really help with that in terms of helping you chart a new course to really get motivated and almost have a partner in doing that with you, right, to get started. Sometimes we just need somebody to really just do it with us initially to really get the momentum and the positive energy going, right, so we can show up, we'll go together, we'll get it done, and we'll find a mentor for you that you can relate to, communicate with, trust, and really has that shared interest with you so that you can do it together.
And not only those in the Seattle area where KK is.
Right.
Jeff, let's talk about where your services are.
Thank you. So we can meet with you anywhere that you're at, almost anywhere, actually, I should say. But we're serving clients in about 14 different states now. And so one of the benefits of Coach Mentors is you don't have to be in a city. We can meet with you. I mean, the real benefit is that we're showing up at home in the community where your life is happening. That's where we need to show up and be a support to you in living your best life.
And I also understand that you give family support as well. So tell us a little bit about that.
We do. So really important, right, particularly when we're working with adolescents and young adults, that families, the siblings, the parents need corresponding help and support, right, to figure out their role, to kind of know how to best support their child. So we don't want to just always work in a vacuum. When we work with all of our clients, we want to include the family, parents, the siblings. We also love to be able to work collaboratively with the other support people in your lives, your pastor, your clergy, your psychologist, your therapist, your social worker, your psychiatrist, anybody. We can be part of that team so that we're not working in individual silos, but we're all kind of coming together for that collective team support.
Yeah. And I love that you said that, because this is a question that comes up like a ton. And I can't emphasize this enough. When you work with people like Ellen or Jeff, they don't exclude the rest of your team.
That's
and
right.
This is what this is about. It's integrating all the various moving parts in your life. And, you know, we can't emphasize that enough, because a lot of times I'll get calls and people are like, but what about, will you work with my naturopath? Will you work with this? And the answer is, of course we do, right? Because our plan is to bring all the pieces together so that the sum of the parts is greater than the whole. So, you know, we want to make sure we're doing something really cool. And you will address whatever that, let's call it, gap is in what people need.
That's right.
Exactly. It is a team effort always, and that's what makes it so special.
Awesome.
Because we're able to address it from all different aspects so that you're able to talk about things with your therapist and then reinforce it with your coach in a, like Jeff said, in a mentor kind of way. So we actually walk hand in hand with our client so that we can really execute short-term goal-focused solutions to really, like you said, build forward better, Pat, which is really exactly what this show is about, telling people that they can move forward and that they should be aware of all of the obstacles in the reemergence and go hand in hand with somebody that can help them.
That's right.
Okay. Now, in wrapping up, let's just cut right to the chase about it. Ellen, Jeff, I'd love for folks to know, again, how to contact you. But, you know, what's your personal message here? What do you want to leave everybody with here?
Jeff?
You know, my personal message would be, don't be afraid to reach out for help. Call, email, ask the question, face the thing that's gnawing at you, and be willing to ask someone, how do I get help for that? Can I get help for that? Do I need help for that? And what would that help look like? Because with knowledge comes power, right? Then you know what resources you have available to you.
And for Jeff, that's coachmentors.com. Go to the website, give them a call. This is Ellen Stewart, the pushy broad from the Bronx. You know you can be pushy right now. This is the time. Pick up the phone, pushybroadfromthebronx.com. Any question, anytime, I'm here for you. Build forward better. Thank you, Dr. Pat.
Thank you so much for both of you. And for everybody out there, what's super, super important to remember is you're not alone. You're not alone. What a great show. Thank you both for the message of today and the power of your invitation. Thank you.
You've been listening to Recovery Recharged with certified life and recovery coach Ellen Stewart, pushy broad from the Bronx. Don't miss your next opportunity to let me help you recharge your recovery, let go of your secrets, and change the way you think, feel, and act right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.